Hello, Royals fans, and welcome to the weekly podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. Hopefully, if you were able to tune in last week, I had a report from the Old Dominion Athletic Conference meetings and interviewed with Brad Bankson, the commissioner. I'm back here this week, and I'm going solo because I'm pleased to announce that James DeBoer is now a father of twins. His daughter and son were born early this morning, and so I'm sure he's going to take some needed time off, and we'll be having some other guests on here in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for joining today, and I'd like to do a couple things with my report today. First of all is to give you some of the action items that did take place in the ODAC, and then also talk about the Integration Institute that did happen at the end of that week that Brad talked about. We have not had our meeting of all the personnel who were there. That's coming up in the future, and once that's done, we'll be able to let you know what some specific programs are that we're going to develop here at EMU that may have come out of there. But I'd like to give some action items and then give you my own perspective on some of the things that we did discuss at the Integration Institute. As far as the board meetings go in the ODAC, there were a couple of important decisions that were made. I may have mentioned these a little bit, but the non-traditional season for those sports that have a non-traditional season, which in baseball would be the fall, softball would be the fall, soccer would be the spring. There are 16 practice sessions allowed in the non-traditional season. That's always, you used to have to do that in 4 weeks. We've now allowed schools to do that in either 4 or 5 weeks. So same number of times when they get together, but spread it out. We believe that's going to really help in terms of the interference with academics. And so that's one that went. We also have moved to have all of the coaches' meetings meet before their season in preparation, and we're going to use it more as an educational tool. This may not seem like a big deal to some of you, but the coaches have always gotten together at the end of the season, and we think it's going to be pretty important for them to get together at the beginning. And part of it is when they meet at the end, they seem to be more reactionary to whatever has gone wrong with their season, whether it be officiating or the structure of the conference tournament, et cetera. So by meeting ahead of time, we're going to be able to go over some in-service possibilities, look at the NCAA rules test, and have them be thinking more in the long term rather than just the reactionary short term. So that was one. The trainers approved a particular protocol for visiting teams related to concussion testing. And as you certainly are aware, the issue of concussions has become forefront in a lot of sporting venues all the way up to the professional ranks and all that's going on with the NFL in particular. But they did agree on one particular test that everyone will use with visiting teams that come in. That way we're all on the same standard in terms of whether or not they can go back into the game. And I think that was pretty significant in trying to address that, because many of us don't have trainers who travel with teams to away contests. Another one that we dealt quite a bit of time with was individual and team awards, how many to give and a percentage. And part of that came out of one or two of the sports that wanted to give a new award, Assistant Coach of the Year. It's interesting that I'm not sure how many years ago, probably there weren't that many assistant coaches in Division III sports anyway, and now they want to give an award to that. And also runner of the year, player of the year, that kind of thing. And it's one of those issues that the board takes very seriously. And so we spend a lot of time addressing it more from the philosophical standpoint, because if you allow one sport to add that, then what's going to happen with all the rest? And pretty soon it has budget implications, and it also has, in some people's minds, watering down. So we dealt some time with that. We are very pleased to add the Women's Golf Championship to the men's as well. Women's golf will be the first time sponsored by the ODAC, and they will have the Women's Championship the same time as the men's in the spring of the year. Then we spent, I'd like to highlight three discussion topics that we talked about. One was the recruiting calendars, and I wanted to read from a piece of the NCAA, one of the ones who was holding a meeting there. I think this will give you a pretty good idea of what the issue is. This particular coach or athletic director says, I've been in this business a long time, and I never thought I would see full-time assistant coaches in Division III or Division III schools flying all over the country recruiting kids. There are a number of schools doing that. To bring a little bit of sanity back into the process would be good for both the individuals who are out there fighting the fight and also to the institutions who are paying for it. And another comment that came out of a study group, the whole idea of the recruiting environment is emerging as one of the next big discussion items for Division III. And so one of the things that we want to do is to try to find some balance to that. Another comment was, the greater issue is that we as institutions and conferences and a division have to find ways to stand firm on what we believe is the way we want our coaches working. The whole non-scholastic events issue, what is our responsibility when it comes to recruiting at those events? And what he's referring to there is something that has emerged in terms of the recruiting, and that is the AAU tournaments, the Junior Olympic showcases. Very rarely do coaches recruit at high school events anymore. And so what they're going to is the non-scholastic events. The people who are running the non-scholastic events, such as the showcase tournaments and club tournaments in soccer, field hockey, et cetera, and baseball showcases, the people running that are making a lot of money, and they're making a lot of money because they can charge a lot for the kids or the teams to participate because they know the college coaches are going to be there. So the question is, if they pull the college coaches away from that, will they then be diminished? And will they go away to some degree? Because you can go out almost any weekend and find some place to see kids. Now, I want to assure you that EMU is not flying their coaches all over the country to recruit. Ours is kept very locally. But at the same time, there are events that you could go to most every weekend. Throughout the coming year, Division III is going to be studying that. There are those who feel that if there's some type of a recruiting calendar, and by recruiting calendar, we mean just like there is in Division I and II, there would be some dead periods where you couldn't do anything. There would be limitations on how many times you could contact a student athlete and whether or not and there would be dead periods where no one was allowed to do anything with related to recruiting. Some people feel like that would help to break the pressure. Other people feel it would bring a life balance. There's some who will say that would cost more because then you'll just pack all the rest of it into a shorter amount of time, and it may actually cost you more money because you need to spread them out. So that's going to be a really tough issue that we're going to deal with over the coming year, and I'm sure I'll bring a few coaches in here to talk about that as well. Second main issue we really discussed, and this is the kind of thing that we deal with on a regular basis, is the whole conflict between conference championships and final exams and graduation. And what it brings to mind is the real question of, I hate to say it this way, but which is more important, the academics or the athletics? And especially when you get to the point of conference championships. So, for example, for the last 3 years, two of the last 3 years, our softball team has been in the ODAC championship game, and that has occurred on Sunday during our graduation. And so the question is, what should be done? Some of the people have, we start playing in February already, and that's because everything has to be moved up so we can avoid final exams and graduations. And so the question is starting to be raised even more and more. What would we do if we would just simply say, here's when the championships are going to be? How would schools deal with that? And you can play off the idea that there would be very few schools who would stand in the way of their team winning an ODAC championship and therefore going on to the NCAA tournament. So what is our response as a board of directors and how to deal with that? And again, they've always tried to avoid as many as possible, but unfortunately, because EMU graduates first among the ODAC schools, we've always been faced with it. So if the baseball team would ever go to the national championship or to the ODAC championship, just like the softball has, we run into that problem. And the last couple of years that we've run into this issue, every time our players have said, we're going to play. And so I appreciate the fact that here at EMU, the academic dean has worked with us and not charging students to reschedule final exams. And I found people to be fairly agreeable to moving some of these so that they can participate in something that's extremely important. So I hate to to base it upon that question of saying which is more important, because it's really an unfair question, but it does bring you to a particular point of how to deal with it, and that is that you have a team who you're trying to get to be as excellent as they can, playing for an Old Dominion Athletic Conference championship, and now you have this problem with final exams and graduations. And to say that one is more important than the other and which one should be held is something different. Now, the ODAC has always allowed us to, if we want to schedule the championship game at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which would allow our kids to walk. We've chosen at this point, each year that we've run into it, to run alternative graduation exercises if the players want it. And so we have an opportunity for them to come back the following week and with their parents and with the president and the provost and actually present their diplomas to them. So we've always shied away, and yet I think we're going to be facing it more and more in the ODAC, and schools are going to have to say, we may have to deal with this in a different way. We may have to look at it. The third main discussion item that we had was the budget and corporate support. Just so you're aware, if it means anything to you, each of our schools pay about $13,000 in dues to the Old Dominion Athletic Conference. Then we also pay for officials, and that's hard to compare with others. It's relatively low in comparison to a lot of Division III conferences, but I don't know what all their dues cover and what ours do. I know we pay the officials separately. We've had a Farm Bureau, we've had sponsorship from the Farm Bureau and also from Stellar One Bank here. And so the question becomes, how valuable is the ODAC in terms of exposure, and would other corporate sponsors want to be there? And yet, do we want to rely upon corporate sponsorship? So those are the main discussion items that we had. I'll just highlight one or two things from the Integration Institute, and then I'll be able to give you a further report. One of the things was that the idea of academic and athletic integration has to come from the top. And I want to give special attention to the fact that Lauren Swartzentruber, our president, was there for the Integration Institute and was the only president of the ODAC who stayed the entire time. And I appreciate that very much. We also have to work a lot harder on coaches being the ones to help support academics by their practice schedules and by the way in which they use the language to change the culture. So I'm going to stop with that at this point, but I would like to just close today with a couple of thoughts on this idea of the academics and the athletics. It is a delicate balance and a difficult one for us to sometimes find our way through, because we want to have students excel in both. And yet at the same time, there becomes this conflict. And when I look at the value of the athletics in the life-changing experiences they have, and I think most faculty would agree, too, that there are lessons that can be learned on the court and the field that certainly can't be learned in the classroom. And to try to pit one against the other, I think, is the wrong approach to it. And we need to find a way to join hands together and recognize that we want our student athletes to be the best athletes they can be, to win championships, to represent us at the national level. Those are the goals that we have, and we should have them, because we want all of our programs to excel. The athletic program does not exist just as an enrollment tool to get students in here. It exists as a way to allow students to become better persons, better athletes, and actually better students as well. So we will continue to find ways to link hand to hand rather than pit one against the other one. But it does come down to some practicality about practices and games conflicting with labs, which are very difficult to make up. As an institution, we're a smaller institution, so therefore sometimes it becomes a little more, we don't have multiple sections, and sometimes students can't choose the sections that they have. So I'm going to continue to explore this summer this question of athletics and academics. Clearly, a lot of our students come here with their athlete aspirations in mind, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but we need to find a way to blend the two together rather than pit them against each other, and we'll continue that discussion as we go through. I welcome any of your ideas along that line. If you're an alumnus who played a sport here at EMU or at another institution and you want to share your ideas about how academics and athletics intersected in your experience, I'd love to hear that. It's something that's going to be ongoing. I'm very, very pleased with the support and the cooperation that we've been able to receive on the academic side here at EMU, but we certainly have some ways to go in terms of our athletes understanding how valuable academics are and our faculty understanding how valuable athletics are. Thanks for joining today. I hope that you'll tune us in again next week, and we'll look forward to talking to you at that point. And until then, I invite you to make it a great week.